You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Many movements have been motivated by the climate crisis to take action to attempt to affect change. Extinction Rebellion is one such group. It says it aims to apply non-violent civil disobedience to push for action. In the wake of the floods last week, they released a strongly worded statement placing culpability for the disaster upon both major political parties for their lack of action. I talked to co-coordinator of Extinction Rebellion, Tamaki Makaurau, Carol Kerwin, on their organization's position on the climate crisis. In the aftermath of the floods, Extinction Rebellion has been voicing their opinions, and I would love to hear them right now from you. What is your take on the state of things?
Well, first of all, I want to challenge that it's our opinions and our take. All we are doing is following the science. We look at the science and we say, hey, what's going on here and why aren't we as a world and Abbott of the country doing something about this? We seem to have a lot of personal actions to drop our personal emissions, but then we get successive governments who have downplayed what we need to do in the name of the economy, which is absolutely false accounting, as we can see with our multiple ongoing and increasingly frequent predicted climate catastrophes. They are catastrophic for the people concerned, and enormous cost. And, you know, not lives lost, which is tragic, homes lost, livelihoods lost, people having to re-establish themselves in life after decades of work. And it's going to take decades to get back. Have you heard about the farmers in Southland? We kind of forget that. And because it was last year. What about Westport? What about Tasman? It's sort of like so on and so forth. We've still got people from the anniversary floods who don't have their homes settled. It's just absolutely tragic. And if we start looking around the world, there's ongoing floods, fires, droughts, deaths, etc. Victoria at the moment is second ago they were on fire. They're on fire again. And this is just going on and on and on. The science predicted this. Exxon's own science team predicted this decades ago, and it's absolutely, you can hear my voice, it's absolutely devastating that this has been allowed to continue, and we're just adding our voice to, with this press statement, adding our voice to many to say, hey, what we're doing is not enough. Yeah.
And in that world of Exxon and us, our actions as a country, where do you think the complicity lies? Who is responsible for the inaction?
Well, fascinating question. There's an international push to get ecocide on the Rome Statute, to have it sitting there with genocide and others, and that would hold the fossil fuel sector to account. It would say, hey guys, you knew this would happen and you continued, and look at what's going on, and you're making billions profit. How about you start helping to pay to turn it around? We don't offer actual policy suggestions. We just follow the science and follow what's actually happening. Like, we have mining companies in this country who, as part of their contract, are meant to tidy up after themselves, and it doesn't happen. The taxpayers end up, you know, there's the oil well off Taranaki that we had to shut down at enormous cost because the company said, oh gee, we're not financial and we're winding up and therefore can't do it. So it gets, let's stop them in the first place because the fossil fuels are a sunset activity now. Let's not do it. This idea of having gas exploration is just astonishing. The future is renewables. Renewables are cheaper than fossil fuels, and they don't have those enormous risks of pollution.
What would you say to people who would look at fossil fuels and say these are an important solid-state fuel that can be used in conjunction with renewables, and that renewables themselves require rare earth minerals that are pollutant to mine from the ground?
What people are not taking into account with that is it's like a paper argument. The renewables, yes, they use important minerals that have to be mined, but they can be reused, recycled. They're long-term use. They're not sort of like one-off, like fossil fuels. We burn it and get rid of it. And the energy that we are getting from the renewable energy is not polluting. It's like a no-brainer. It's now cheaper. It used to be more expensive while it was still being developed. It's going to be getting more affordable as time goes on, and it's tipped the balance now. It's more expensive to develop fossil fuel energy than it is renewable energy. Let's transition fast.
Do you see any future for any amount of fossil fuels going forward?
No.
Not even for sort of making up the gaps in energy grid, or, you know, when the sun doesn't shine or the wind doesn't blow?
If Genesis hadn't held on to solar farm permits and not developed them, our country could have been 100% renewable energy for years. They somehow or rather, tricky accounting or some such, I don't understand it fully, and they linked the price of electricity to generating it from Huntly. Therefore, they had to keep the Huntly coal power station open, which was unnecessary, to say the least. We in this country, not in all countries, but because we've got so much hydro, we could have been 100% renewable years ago.
If people want to get involved with climate action, what does Extinction Rebellion do? How do they?
We are primarily looking at non-violent action rather than writing letters to the editor or responding to submissions, although we do that as well. But there are other groups that say that's their primary thing. There are other groups that are doing, like I think of our climate declaration, who do a marvellous education. We look at the Environmental Defence Society, or ECO, really focused on policy and lobbying government directly. They're great, great organisations. And we're in contact with all of them. Greenpeace, Forest and Bird, brilliant organisations. We are more looking at mobilising the population, so we want more people. And at the moment we're doing cheeky actions. Like last year during the COP, we walked down the main street of Takapuna to the climate minister's office with a burning coffin, and we had our Red Rebels who were demonstrating grief and sadness, and then we painted some messages on the footpath outside the climate minister's office. So at the moment we're choosing to do, I call them cheeky actions.
With that cheeky action in Takapuna, what was your aim with that? Do you feel like it was to get attention for the sake of support or for awareness or to pressure the representative? Or was it for catharsis for people who are worrying about climate change? What was the main focus?
Primarily, I think, awareness in the population. So we actively chose the day of the markets where there were lots of people there, but also to, if you like, wave a flag in front of the eyes of the climate minister to say, hey, people right here in your electorate are not happy with what you're doing.
That was the coordinator of Extinction Rebellion, Tamaki Makaurau, Carol Carwin, on the climate crisis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.